include Free Benjamin, Wayna, Anna Molago, Ayanna Gregory, Congolese artist Deja Bell, and Maimouna Youssef. Details, including a complete list of performers, at wpfwfm.org or friendsofthecongo.org. All proceeds benefit Friends of the Congo's DRC Women, Peace and Security Center in Kinshasa. And WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
I'm Mwiza Muntali, host of Africa Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
You know, nowadays, it seems like there's a lot of bad things going on, and I guess a lot of it, from the way I see it, seems to still stem from lack of feelings on our parts is how we relate or communicate with our fellow brothers and sisters. Hatred is a feeling, love is a feeling. Let's hate all that does not allow us to love. And we can do that just by getting to know each other and talking to the people. Who can you turn to tell your troubles, tell them to? You can't go around wondering what it is you gotta do. You gotta be ready and willing to make a move. Nobody can push you if you don't want to move. You suffer, cry, and hate, and live the American way. Fly the hateful skies of America, fly the American way. Gotta talk to the people.
Yeah.
Tell them how you feel.
Hey, good morning, Chip.
Good morning.
And good morning, Miguel. Thank you for being
good morning,
our engineer all these years.
On the boards.
Yes, sir. Keeping us mixed. Good morning, listeners. This morning, Community Watching Comment, Friday edition. I'm Ron Pinchback, along with Chip Jones. And today, our engineer is going to, our board op is going to join us in our conversation because it's about men. Okay. What we want to get your thoughts on is this. It seems that polls are suggesting, consistently showing that the Harris campaign, and it is that time of season. We only got, 3 weeks?
Yep.
You ready to stand in that line, man, or have you voted already?
Time is not there for wasting. Yeah, you got the packet in the mail yesterday, so gonna.
All right. Very good. Okay. This morning, there seems to be a growing concern, that in her campaign, that certain groups of men are, not buying the message. And these are men who represent, strong constituencies. We're talking about Black males, young Black males, okay, young Black males. Young white men, young Hispanic men, and even Asian, young Asian men.
I think you could just go with young men in general. I think.
Really.
We pretty much got all the flavors there.
All the flavors. And the question is why? Okay. A lot of theories about that. We'd like to hear what your thoughts are about that. Why is that? Why is the Harris campaign having not getting the kind of support that they thought they would have? I would assume at this time, from young Black males, And you know, the reason that's pointed about each group, because each group probably has its own reason. You know, young black males, young white males, Asians, you know, and Hispanics. You know, so that's what we want to have a conversation about this morning. Your thoughts about why that is occurring, your theories, and then your opinions. The number to call is 202-588-0893. The program is Community Watch and Comment with me, Ron Pinchback, and Chip Jones. Our board op's going to join us this morning, Mike. But more importantly, we want to hear from you. Okay, so give us a call. Share your thoughts on this. And Chip, let's kind of get into it here. What are your recollections here? What are your thoughts?
I think, you know, the main thing at its core is that we still live in a sexist society. I mean, it is baked in the pie, just like racism. So of course there's going to be a hurdle. And I think when you start with that as ground zero, this is not surprising. What I wonder, especially for African Americans, for Latinos, is that there doesn't seem to be enough weight to the fact that it's not in their best interests here to give in to this sexism, that Trump is not their ally, you know. So that's the scratching your head part. You know, at what point do you realize that what you've done in the past is not going to work for you in the future?
Hey, this morning, community, watch your comment. We're getting your thoughts about the Harris campaign and this difficulty. Some limited difficulty, I'll say that, because she still has overwhelming support amongst those groups. But that this anomaly is hanging out there, and it needs to be discussed. It needs to be, right. You know, why? Well, you know, why would you vote against your own best interests?
Right. It's scary because it's a small enough margin that it could tip the scale. Because when you look at the demographics, the thing that's keeping Trump alive is white voters, you know. So it's these you know, smaller groups that are bound together that keep Harris in this race. And if she loses any of those, it's a problem.
It's a it's a tornado. All right, 202-588-0893. Good morning, caller. You're on WPFW.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm an old guy, and I don't believe I'm a sexist, but I'm not voting for Pamela Harris. And I think there are other reasons other than sexism. For example, I don't hear her coming out in a sincere way explaining any positions of value to people whose skin color is like hers. I don't. When it comes to reparations, she talked about reparations for Jewish people in front of AIPAC and Japanese people when she was in California as a state official, and she talked about her love for those people. But when she talked to the black journalist and reporters, I can't remember the name of the organization. Very different story. Definitely.
I do have a question for you.
Go ahead.
My question is this.
Go ahead.
You're saying that her issues, that it's the issues are the reasons why you're not supporting her candidacy.
I am saying that. I am saying that she's not offering anything.
Okay, let me ask you this. And I want to just be fair. Yeah. I want to ask you this. Is the Trump campaign offering any answers to those questions?
I can tell you, Trump, I'm not for. But I'm not going to vote for someone who ignores my issues.
Are you going to vote for anyone?
Pardon?
I mean, that's your right, too, not to vote.
Oh, I will vote. I'll vote for Jill Stein. because
in terms of
reparations, so, in terms of stopping the 14,000, 2,000 pound bombs that we've sent to Israel, in terms of the climate crisis, in terms of everything that I believe in, she is giving answers. Kamala Harris is not.
So you're okay with the idea that that could potentially give Trump the win?
I'm more okay with the idea that in the long term, people learn that we don't vote for people who don't address our issues. And we can survive Trump. We can defeat him because he's at least in your face as your enemy. She's for white supremacy in Israel, for genocide, apartheid, or segregation. And she won't even mention the words.
All right.
Because of her black skin.
I think we got it.
She's going to get my vote. Because I have black skin also? Nope.
I understand.
I got you.
You're right. Let's go to another caller.
Okay.
202-588-0893. Good morning. You on WPFW.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This whole issue is quite dangerous. First of all, I think that after hearing the last show, I think it's very important to sow the seeds of consistency. And the reason I'm saying sowing the seeds of consistency, a lot of the sentiment regarding the African American community and African American men was expressed on the last show. And I called a couple of weeks ago because, again, not sowing the seeds of a consistent message and consistent voice is counter-revolutionary. And unfortunately, you guys are falling into the trap because for black, I think what's dangerous and the trap is that African-American men are never considered to be intelligent. And not to vote for Kamala Harris is an intelligent, very principled decision.
That's why we're asking the questions.
And
sir.
That's why I'm giving you the answer.
Okay. Well, yeah,
and
but you're giving
me
the
answer. I'm not giving you the answer.
Sir, this is exactly what this show does. You know, we're not got no agenda here, okay? We want to hear from you in your perspective, okay? Because other people are going to have other perspectives about this. So that's it.
No, it's not.
No challenge. Okay, we just want you to, say what you have to say.
Well, let me say what I have to say, please. Can I say what I have to say?
Sure.
The point is that there are segments and there are African-American women that are essentially being mammies for empire. And I'm not talking about the likes of Esther Averam or Jackie Lukman or many of those African-American women that understand the importance of unity between African-American men and African-American women. But I, for one, have not forgotten Kamala Harris as a prosecutor. And as a prosecutor, many African-American men came under the auspices of the criminal justice system while Kamala Harris was a prosecutor unfairly. Number two, the important part to this is when you see the genocide in Palestine, genocide in Sudan, that she absolutely supports, you normalize genocide and the first people that will be come under the rubric of genocide will be African-American men. So that is the perspective, and we need to have an agenda, and we need to have an agenda at this time. There's nothing else to be said. Last time you guys unfairly said that I was speaking a lot of hyperbole, which is wrong, and it's patently false and wrong when you mentioned the fact that Kamala Harris is important to compromise because Malcolm and Martin Luther King compromised. They did not compromise on the essence of morality, and that's disingenuous, it's dishonest, and it's disingenuous and unfair representation of me, and it's not hyperbole. So we need an agenda. And we need an agenda as far as African-American men are concerned. And I, my agenda to you is don't be counter-revolutionary.
Okay. Thank you for your thoughts. 202-580-0893, community watching comment. This morning, we're getting your thoughts about difficulty with the Harris campaign in attracting young males of all races. You know, each probably having, I'm sure having their own rationale for doing so. But it's become a concern of the campaign because those votes add up. Ain't that right, Chip?
That's it.
All right. 202-580-0893. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW.
Yes. I have a question for you. First, I would like to say ditto to, you know, the first two callers, and I'm thinking maybe everybody's not falling for the okey-doke. They're not only bleeding, you know, African-American men, but African-Americans, period. What I have a question for you is apparently you all are supporting a candidate that supports apartheid, that supports genocide, that supports the undermining of the Haitian government in Haiti to take over their natural resources. What my question is, where is your red line? Maybe people have red lines. Where is your red line? Do you have one? And that's my question. You all are asking everybody else questions. So my question to you is, if any of you have a red line, and if so, where is it?
Yeah, let me just say this before you respond, Chip.
Okay.
I want you to remember this, ma'am. Okay? This show is about you. You know,
don't you keep interrupting people?
No, let me finish.
Like that.
This show is about you.
You
know, everybody may not agree with you. Everybody may agree with you. We're presenting you this time to share your views, you know. Okay, that's what this is about.
What my red line is
that we no longer have the opportunity to discuss these things. Okay, that's my red line.
That's such a cop out. And do you know that?
Can I get in?
Connected, don't you? You do know that Cop City, Palestine, and apartheid is all connected.
You don't know what we know.
I thought you wanted to hear what I was going to say.
He interrupted. I'm sorry. I had to respond to what he had to say. I'm listening to you.
Okay. My red line is this: that all of the things that you brought up, a lot of them I don't believe, and I haven't seen where Kamala Harris has signed on to them. I think that she is.
Lord. She signs with everything.
Excuse me. I didn't interrupt you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. I do believe that she is pulling a lot of the party line, and she's quiet on a lot of things, you know, which are issues. But we are looking at a, you know, it's a different situation. People keep saying, oh, well, we'll survive Trump. Our last survival of Trump means the loss of Roe v. Wade, the loss of affirmative action. I mean, all of these things that have impacted us and will impact us way into the future with the judges that he's put on the court. I don't know that we can survive another Trump. And for us to we're gonna hold to these ideals that we have. Excuse me. Okay, the idea that we're going to hold to these ideals that we have and have another Trump term, to have possibly another justice, lifetime appointed justice on the court by him. We know he's going to appoint other justices down the chain. I don't know that we can survive that.
Fear-mongering, and I've been in front of Obama judges, and let me tell you, it's no different.
Really?
No, I'll tell you what. let's do that, man. You know, you've expressed your opinion, and you know, our listeners have had a chance to digest what you've had to say. Now we're going to give the opportunity for our listeners to respond in whatever way they choose to, okay? Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. You always have that right at WPFW. 202-588-0893. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW.
Good morning. Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
In 2008 and 2012, the turnout among African Americans was quite large for President Obama, but then it dropped precipitously for Hillary in 2016 and allowed a nutcase like Donald Trump to win three key states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And had the minority vote in Philadelphia, in Milwaukee, in Detroit, and places like that been roughly similar to the turnout. If that turnout had been similar to 2012 and 2008, we wouldn't have had to put up with the nutball Trump for 4 years. Why do you think that was?
It's sexism. I mean, in my belief, it was sexism.
I'm sorry. Did you say sexism?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So in the minority community, you think there's a lot of sexism?
I think there's sexism in the whole country. So I don't think it's unique to the minority community.
But you do think that it exists in the minority community?
Absolutely. It exists in every community.
Yeah, I mean, right? We're not an island. I mean,
that's why I wanted to have this discussion, because it is across races, okay? And so when you have this kind of, you know, non-participation, you know, from so many folks, you know, you have to look at why that is occurring. You know, is it misogyny? You know, I just can't vote for a woman. You know, is it fear? Well, you know, I don't want women taking over. You know, is it low esteem? You know, it's a complex issue, you know, but it's affecting these groups, and we're trying to find out or get your thoughts about why that might be happening. Yeah. So, in every one of those issues I just mentioned, you will find in every community. Now, how, you know, young white boys, you know, don't like seeing black athletes, you know, making all this money and being on the field and being in the sports when they feel they can't do that because they don't have that athletic. You know, stuff like that. You know, I'm scared blacks are gonna take over. You know, so that's why, you know, young white males are attracted to this Nazism and stuff like that. You know, it's complicated, but it exists, and it's going to affect this election. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you for your observation.
Thank you for yours. Yeah. 202-588-0893. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hello.
Hey, you guys are talking about how young men are being pushed to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, back... I've been reading some news articles lately talking about how Russia has been given millions of dollars to right-wing influencers.
Right.
People like Andrew Tate, who are preaching how to be a man. And that that really, like, preys and influences, go figure, they're influencers. It influences how young men think, because they want to understand what masculinity means. So you have these authoritarian speakers who tell you that you have to vote for Trump and that you have to control and protect your family in order to be a real man. And these young men who don't have a lot of good role models for what it means to be masculine, they buy into that. They buy into that alpha male stuff that's preached by these influencers. And these influencers are getting millions of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, we are seeing that we are in a crisis for young men. I mean, they are dropping out of college at an alarming rate. Women are moving to the forefront. They're feeling that they don't know their place in society anymore. You know that, and these these influencers are saying, you know, this is how you take back the power. An interesting thing, this idea of alpha male. The guy who came up with that whole alpha male thing, you know, recanted that because he actually made a mistake. The group of wolves that he was watching to create alpha males, it wasn't alpha males. The wolves that were catering to the bigger wolf, they were actually teenage wolves. This was their father. Mm-hmm. So it was a parental deference. Yeah. It wasn't about.
No, man, and a lot of the times it's the mother too. It's just whatever wolf is in charge at the time. But like, back when I was in military intelligence, rule number one, lesson number one that they taught us was that the Cold War never ended.
Mm-hmm.
We're still in it.
Yeah.
You got big news corporations like AP News, the BBC, CNN. They're all saying that Russia has been given millions of dollars to right-wing influencers. And all these right-wing influencers are pushing young men to vote for Trump, who is literally, like within the last week, actively working to destabilize America.
Right.
You guys catch what he said about the hurricane and the disaster?
He said
that Kamala Harris was stealing disaster relief money to build homes for immigrants.
Right.
That's what he just said in the campaign. Yeah. Straight.
That's one amongst many. Even the networks have had to admit that they, you know, took too much bait there. But influencers.
States where they're right.
It should be noted that at Trump's rallies, one of the songs that they play is "It's a Man's World."
Yeah.
Okay.
And people like Elon Musk, who is all about like having as many children as possible as a symbol of masculinity, he was dancing around at Trump's rally. You know, his mask is off. His mask is off. He's Trump's dancing monkey in public now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, man.
All right. Let's go to another caller. Hey, man, thanks for your contribution. Sir. Yes. Appreciate the perspective. Okay. Because it is, and like I say, it's a lot of issues, a lot of competing issues. Let's see, how many callers we got? All right, let's go to that 202-588-0893. That's the number to call for Community Watch and Comment. This morning, we're getting your thoughts on, you know, why the Harris campaign is not doing as well as it thought it would amongst young males of all races, and why that's occurring, and Can it be done? Can it be turned around? Some say those who choose it's the issues, you know, it's the issues. We ain't trying to change our mind, you know.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW?
Who is that? Me.
That's you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you and your time. My name is Makiba. I'm a DC resident. I'll jump right into it. I am for Kamala, and I'll tell you why. Kamala is not Donald Trump. Donald Trump has shown us exactly who he is for the last 40-plus years. He has a track record of being racist, Central Park Five. He has a track record of discrimination. He has a track record of lying. This man has been convicted of many things, not recently, but within the last so many
decades track record, long as I don't know what, longer than train smoke, okay? Now, Kamala may not have the perfect track record. We may find little flaws, but the one thing I would vote for her over him is she's not him. He is a convicted felon, convicted in the court for rape and assault. He is clearly, clearly a criminal. Now, there's so many things to unpack here. He panders to us like we're stupid, and unfortunately, a lot of us will fall for that. That to me takes it back to the slave days when you had the slave master, you had the field Negro, you had the house Negro. The house Negro was elevated. The house Negro was patted on his head and given a lemonade and a piece of apple pie and told he was better. And then those house Negroes said, well, master's not that bad. So let's just deal with him and see and give him a chance to see if he's going to come around. He's not that bad, whereas the field Negroes were catching all the hell. You know, I mean, you got it. Our ancestors who have passed away would be rolling in their graves right now if they knew that there were strong black men who were sitting here trying to weigh it and somehow compromise and somehow validate a person like Donald Trump being put back in office. This man has given a speech recently and said, this is the last time you got to vote. You don't have to vote anymore after that. What does that mean?
That's right.
We vote every 4 years. So what are you saying to us? Look at January 6th, want to overthrow. Look at the Supreme Court who gave him immunity to act how he wants. Now, I want everybody listening to my voice right now. You Google this because it's there. There's a 1990 Vanity Fair article, 1990. His first wife, who has passed away, Ivana, she made it clear after they got the divorce. They interviewed her in 1990. This woman said, and it's in the article, he kept Hitler's book by the bedside.
Yeah.
Now, you go back and listen to his speeches, and you listen to Donald Trump's speeches, and he is word for word. But when you ask him, he's like, oh, I don't know anything about Hitler, just like he didn't know anything about the hookers, the tricks, the fraud. Who is that person? Cohen. Not Cohen. Epstein. I don't really know him that much. You got more photographs and videos of him partying with Epstein than you have him coming out of a church with a Bible in his hand. I've never seen that.
Again, now, sir, I hate to interrupt you because you're on a roll, but I do got a question for you. Now, everything you said, you know, makes perfect sense in terms of what his history is. Why do you think young males are not listening to that, are not paying attention to that? Or is it ignorance? Is it they're just not aware? Or is this willful?
It's a little bit of everything. First of all, Kamala is a woman, and there are some people that have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that because we were all birthed by a woman. So a woman is a superhero. We need to respect that. A woman can do it all. How many single mothers are doing it all, okay?
Every day.
So the issue might be a little bit of that. But then they let little things come out. Oh, this, that. For example, Palestine. My heart breaks when I see that. But guess what? We are black Americans. We're not Palestinians. And that goes back further. You have to look at the relationship between Israel and Palestine. Israel came in. They stole that land with the help of the U.S., with the help of England. Know your history. Israel was almost in Kenya, believe it or not. Check your history. But they voted not to. So they helped them go into Palestine. They have some deep relationships. And that's tragic, and it's hard and all this. But we don't live there. We live here. So we're going to accept the person who tells Russia, do whatever the hell you want to do, and they invade Ukraine. Oh, he's over there rubbing on that wall with that little yarmulke on his head. Trump ain't even religious. He's over there rubbing on the wall, posing for pictures. He's supporting them. So what makes you think they wouldn't have done that anyway? Do you understand what I'm saying? Plus, Congress makes a decision.
All right.
It's bigger than us. Let's worry about us in this country. That's important. You can't have a Klan member. His grandfather or father was in the Klan. He supports the Klan. You can't have that dude running nothing. Listen, we're in D.C. I'm on a roll.
All right. We got to let you go. All right. We got some other callers. Thank you for sharing your perspective this morning. All right. 202-588-0893. Chip, any quick thoughts about this? Comments?
No, it is. I mean, it's everything that the guy said. I mean, I understand the people who are like, well, she isn't showing me enough or all of this stuff. But it's like, hasn't Trump showed you enough that we need to keep him out no matter what? I mean, it's like I said, the stuff that is stacked up that we're still going to be dealing with no matter who goes in. You know, the Supreme Court as it is now, the other courts as they are now. I mean, the destruction of affirmative action. I mean, banning history books about Black and LGBTQ plus people. I mean, it's like I don't know that we can survive going any further back than when we are now. So it's like.
And that's a legitimate concern, as they say. Yeah. I mean, how far can we go back? How far, you know, how far would we be willing to go back? I mean, and come on. Yes. Yeah. So anyhow, but like you say, people do things and they support their candidates for the reasons of their own.
Right.
All right. 202-588-0893. Good morning, Carl. You on WPFW.
Hey, good morning, guys. I appreciate you.
Hello. Good morning.
I totally understand what you're saying. You definitely reiterated that a few times and made it clear when you extend the olive branch to other callers who get a little bit frustrated. And I also see where some of the other callers are coming from. But I'm not so much in the middle ground, you know, per se. I'm 25. I'm a young Black man. I'm a little bit different because I joined the military. I'm from Detroit. So where I'm at is a little bit different from where my peers are. But in terms of acknowledgement and understanding the system and how things are today, I'm not so much different from my peers. And I think so because at 2000 and 2008, most of my peers who were not able to vote, we had that emotional connection with Barack Obama, with his wife, with his family. And that connection was so strong in most Black households that, you know, for a long time, for months on end, it really didn't matter what the politics was. It was the fact that we knew he was a Democrat and his father was Kenyan and he resembled us. And so that's what mattered. That's what mattered until, you know, people became a little bit more aware of his policies. And when he admitted during the 2020 race that Biden held a far more progressive campaign than he did, I think a lot of people, that was an admittance, you know, and I do believe him when he said that, but that was an admittance of a fact that a lot of us that's a hard pill for us to swallow, that a lot of people in the Black community are a little bit more conservative than we like to think we are. And at the same time, you know, some movements, for all of my peers who are young adults, but you know, between 18 to maybe even 30, we are seeing problems that the idea of hope inspired us for 8 years to be changed by now. Healthcare, child daycare. We're talking the entire pharmaceutical industry, and then, you know, as we get older, you know, I study political science and international studies in college. As we start to learn what happened in Lebanon and Syria and Libya during the Obama administration, there's some things that start to switch for us. And so, you know, it's not so much that when Obama speaks to us, and I did feel it. You know, there's some Obama particularly has a skill to speak directly to me. Mm-hmm. And whether I like him or not, I don't even think that matters. I think Obama has a particular skill to speak directly to me and people like me. And so when he said what he said, I think over the past weekend or the past few days ago, I think a lot of people, you know, felt like that was Dad doing his thing again. And we're at a different place now. We're moving forward from a party that has yet to deliver certain things for us. Now, I did vote for Joe Biden, and the first time. And I would have liked to see had seen then I would have liked to see Kamala not drop out the race. After the Trump administration, my biggest question is we have not built a country. The Constitution is not strong enough. The Constitution is not thorough enough, nor is it inclusive enough, nor is this entire system or institution strong enough to withhold chaos.
Right.
Organized
right.
chaos.
To withstand like, it, right.
Right, for a person like Donald Trump. And right. the question that comes to mind for a lot of people my age is, how in the world have we not foreseen something like this? Not a dictator, but a person who is democratically elected and come in with the same elements of demagoguery that a person, you know, something similar to Bashar al-Assad in Syria.
Right.
Very similar in a lot of ways, especially during COVID, where how have we not built the framework? Organizers have been saying for decades, we need to protect Roe. We need to, and then during the Trump administration, there were people sounding the alarms saying that we need to look at a world post Roe or without Roe. That's what the organizers were saying. Emily's List, Pink, Cold Pink, everyone was saying we need to look at that. And when it hit, I believe the Democratic Party, their message was, well, let's be shocked. And that does not save lives for people who are. You know, in a life or death situation, or in a case where there's incest
right.
involved.
All right, sir. We're gonna have to let you go at this point because we got other callers. But thank you for sharing.
Yes.
You know, you
had some. I'm glad that you called in. 25 soldier. We love hearing from you.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, I feel free to call back. You know, we do this every week.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we give you as much time as we can.
That's right.
All right. Thank you very much, my man.
Thank you.
202-580-0893.
He's right. The government for a long time has run on, you know, gentlemen's agreements. And Trump came in and showed us where the flaws were, that, you know, he's about, if you can't stop me, I'm going to do whatever I want. I don't care about any kind of guardrails, you know, that are morally correct. It's like, can you legally stop me? So.
And it has thrown the courts into chaos.
Right.
All right. Because, once again, those judges are appointed by presidents.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I remember the. The one thing, the controversy about his discussion with the Ukraine, he fired the twin brother of a guy just because he looked like his brother. He fired him from the military. I'm like, that would be unheard of before then, that you're going to pick on a family member because you're mad at his brother? No, but he got away with it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, 202-580-0893. I believe them and that brother is running for Congress out here in Virginia.
That's right. He did. He left, and now he's running for a seat. Yeah.
Hey, good morning, Carla. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hello,
Carla.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes, I'm driving, so I'm on heavy on speaker, so my apologies. I think there are a couple of converging factors why Black males don't support Kamala Harris. One, I think older Black men remember her relationship with Willie Brown, you know, and I think there's some controversy about, you know, whether, you know, they had a relationship while he was still married, and then she pretty much, I'm not saying this is true, allegedly, you know, used him to further her career. And then once that relationship ended, then she married a white Jewish man, which may seem like a come up move, and that also may leave a very bad taste in some brothers' mouths. Secondly, I think in juxtaposing Kamala Harris to Donald Trump, when I see these younger men, and I mean these younger men who kind of act lawlessly like these delivery guys on these bikes, Donald Trump is a winner, baby. That's how they see him. He can do, say, act, whatever he wants. And in Charlie Sheen terms, he is winning. And it doesn't matter how he wins, it's just that he wins. So this is sort of like, I can do whatever I need to do, and I can get ahead. I don't have to follow any rules. And unfortunately, because he was president of the United States and Pooh rolls downward, they see that and go, you know what? I'm going to do whatever I need to do. I don't care if you like me, dislike me. If I need to get ahead, I'm going to do it at any way I need to do it. And thirdly, and I'm not sure what is being thought of by Kamala Harris and the people who dress her, but anybody's familiar with like David Byrne and Talking Heads? I don't know. For some reason now, if you look at her shoulder, she's wearing like these shoulder pads, like these.
Like the 80s? Like back in the 80s?
Like back in the 80s, where women were going into the boardroom and they wanted to appear to be strong as men. So these shoulder pads were then put into the jacket. So I guess it was like a position of strength. Because if you look at old photos of her, the shoulders are very soft, you know, her jackets. But here lately, she's got these shoulder pads. And I'm not sure who's talking to her or who's in her ear. But even that seems like weakness. It's like, I just can't present myself as woman and be strong. So I think there's a lot of converging factors. Mm-hmm. And last thing, I mean, this is kind of off topic. You know, I love this show. And guys, please, if you could, this is community watch and comment. Could you please, because sometimes it feels like a debate, and I feel like you gentlemen should just facilitate the conversation and not debate people. And I know you're smart and you have ideas of your own, but it would be nice to have it just kind of move along, and people can say stuff as long as they're not doing any FCC violations. Even if I hate PFW and I think everybody there sucks, that's just their opinion. You don't have to agree with them. Just kind of let it go. But, you know, that all, because you guys comment a lot. And if you total it up based upon how much you speak, that could be three or four other calls that could happen. So I just want to say that kindly.
The one thing I would say is I only try to chime in to correct stuff. Like, I've been waiting to say, you know, you talked about Harris and Willie Brown. Willie Brown was separated his wife for over a decade before he met and started dating Kamala Harris. So the thing about her breaking up his marriage, it's not true. I mean, it keeps coming up and up. And so I think sometimes we need to bring it back to facts. You know, that's the only time I try to step in when somebody's talking, is that if you say something that is just not true, I don't think we can let that go, or we should let that go. You know?
Okay, I agree with that. And I'm not saying I think that is true. I'm just saying that nonsense is out here in the world in the ether.
Right, and, you know, but if I let you say that without coming in with a fact, then I give that life. You know, that it's like when people post stuff on social media, and you go and say, "Well, that's not true," and they'll say, "Well, it's not my meme; it's someone else's." I say, "But you gave it life. Now all your people see it and think it's real." So at some point, we have to be accountable for what we put out there, even if we're saying, "Well, I'm not sure if this is true." The fact that you're saying it breathes life into it.
And with that, thank you for your comments, young lady. Appreciate it.
Yes, always appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, we got more callers. Let's get right to them. 202-588-0893. You're in tune to the Community Watch and Comment on 89.3 FM, WPFW. Your station.
With Jazz and Justice.
There it is. Good morning, caller. Welcome.
Is that me?
That's you?
That is you.
Listen, I have no complaints about the way you brothers are watching this show. I have the greatest admiration and love for you.
Oh, thank you,
sir. I'm
going
to say that
your check's in the mail.
I'm not going to go religious on you because I'm not a religious man, but I am a spiritual man. I do believe in the Most High. The reason why I cannot vote for Kamala Harris at this time, and let me preface my remarks, I love women. My mother was a woman. I would love to see a woman president. The men have ruined this country all these years. Not the men, but the presidents have ruined the country. So let's get a woman in there. Maybe she can do. But the reason why I can vote for her right now, as of now, after right this minute, is because I cannot, in my conscience, go before my God or the Most High and say, yeah, I voted for the genocide and Sudan and this and that and what they're doing to Cuba. I can't do it. Now, if she would just say one thing, hey, look, I'm not going to be like Brother Joe Biden. I'm going to change things. You just give me some hope. But right now, brother, I can't do it. I wish, I swear to you, I wish we could have a woman president. My mother was a woman. She raised five boys. That's all I can say. But if she would do anything to change my mind before then, say, I'm going to stop that war. I'm going to stop sending these bombs to kill people all over the world. If she would just say that, she would just say, I'm going to work on it. I would vote for her in a minute. And that's my, I promise you I would. I swear to you.
All right. Well, you're not alone in that sentiment. So that's what we're calling, Chip.
Yeah, I think the one thing I would say is I think she has said that she wants to end the war. I mean, the thing is that she is two-sided, that she's up for Israel being able to protect themselves, and she's also up for the Palestinian state. And that's the problem, is you can't serve two masters, you know?
But indeed, very difficult.
My thing is I don't think the policy of the United States is going to change drastically through Congress with Trump, and the baggage that Trump brings is way more detrimental to this United States than Kamala Harris.
Yeah, Trump is already talking about let's take out their nuclear facilities of Iran. You know, mm-hmm. So, I mean, anyhow. All right, 202. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW?
Thank you, sir. Is that me?
That's you, sir.
Okay, wonderful. I am back for a quick, shorter comment. Real quick, just for people.
To my man, that's. I'm afraid we can't do that. Okay, because we got other callers. Other callers waiting, and we're out of time. We're really running out of time. Okay, so forgive us. You know, but
catch us next week.
Yeah, please. Okay. Yes, okay. The good morning, caller. You on WPFW.
Oh.
Well, anyhow. All right. Well, that's what we had on. That's what we were dealing with. We had a call waiting, and we try to get everybody in that we can, because everybody's thoughts are important. You know, interesting conundrum, you know, for the Harris campaign, because, you know, I know a lot of our callers said it's the issues, you know, that keep them from actively supporting her candidacy, you know, and at this time. But when, you know, when you think of the alternative, you say, well, you know, why, you know, are they willing to just, well, I shouldn't say ignore the alternative.
Right.
But in many instances, that's what it amounts to.
Yeah, they don't take it into account, and it's not like they're looking for Trump to change his idea on the issues, but they're looking for something from her. And I understand the sentiment. I do, but you know, the one of the first callers, you know, I think accused me of saying that. That Malcolm X and MLK gave in on their beliefs. I didn't mean to imply that. What I meant to say is that they also balanced in practicality, that there are certain things that must be done. And, you know, I mean, you know, people at SNCC, people are SNCC, you know, will openly tell you the story of how they were told that they needed to pare back the vitriol in their speech against the Kennedy administration because, you know, he was trying to be an ally. So at a certain point, you have to weigh the practicality of certain situations, you know, that never let perfection be the enemy of good, you know.
Or progress.
Right.
Okay. Well, you know, and yes, absolutely, there are some circumstances where you can't compromise, and this whole Gaza issue is emerging as an uncompromisable concern. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Hey.
Thanks everyone for calling.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, and we'll be back with you next week for another edition of Community Watching Comment. Hatred is a feeling. Love is a feeling. Let's hate all that does not allow us to love. And we can do that just by getting to know each other and talking to the people.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Christina Onnested. Florida residents have begun assessing and repairing damage from Hurricane Milton, which barreled across the state yesterday, killing at least 14 people, tearing homes to pieces, flooding streets, and spawning deadly tornadoes. 126 warnings were issued. Some 2.5 million Floridians still without power. Johannes Werner is the news director at WSLR, Pacifica Radio affiliate in Sarasota, Florida.
Storm surge was forecasted at 15 feet. We did get between 4 and 8 feet. That was enough, however, to devastate for the second time our barrier islands here. They were completely flooded during Helene just a couple of weeks ago, and now they're flooded again. And that's going to leave a lasting mark on those communities on the islands.
Search and rescue efforts are also underway for survivors trapped in floods. Catherine Carley reports.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says conspiracy theories about federal workers are hurting rescue and recovery efforts.
We have seen people reticent, reluctant to access the relief to which they are entitled and which will help them because of the fear that that false information has instilled in them.
Online threats of violence and anti-Semitic posts directed at FEMA officials claim the government is seizing property and stealing donations. Mayorkas calls the situation demoralizing for those risking their lives to save others. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
President Joe Biden had terse words again against former president and Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump for spreading disinformation about the hurricane response.
Mr. President Trump, former President Trump, get a life, man. Help these people.
Disinformation includes FEMA blocking exit routes and emergency aid capped at $750, though that's just the first payment. Trump campaigns in Colorado today, where he'll focus on immigration. Vice President Kamala Harris campaigns in the swing border state of Arizona for a second day. The United Nations peacekeeping force in southern Lebanon, made up of some 50 nations, says explosions hit its headquarters this morning, injuring two more peacekeepers a day after Israeli forces struck the same position and forces fired on two other peacekeepers, injuring them. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres condemned the strike, speaking in Laos today at the Asian Nation Gathering ASEAN, noting the two peacekeepers injured were from Indonesia, one of them hospitalized.
We are seeing escalation after escalation, a regionalization of the conflict that is becoming a threat to global peace and security. And I strongly urge the different actors maximum restraint.
Undocumented immigrants brought to the U.S. as children were among more than 200 protesters who gathered outside a federal courthouse in New Orleans Thursday, where appellate judges heard arguments over a policy shielding them from deportation. At stake in the case that a panel of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals heard is the future of hundreds of thousands of immigrants who have long established lives in the U.S. The policy called DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, Texas and eight other Republican-led states are challenging the policy. The Biden administration is defending it. A ruling could dismantle protections from deportation for nearly 600,000 Dreamers, potentially pushing the case to the Supreme Court. The Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to a Japanese organization founded by survivors of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki for its activism against nuclear weapons.
This grassroots movement of atomic bomb survivors from Hiroshima and Nagasaki, also known as Hibakusha, is receiving the Peace Prize for its efforts to achieve a world free of nuclear weapons and for demonstrating through witness testimony that nuclear weapons must never be used again.
I'm Christina Onnestad reporting.
Be used again.
I'm Christina Onnestad reporting for Pacifica Radio.
89.3 FM.